Enterprise Influencers, perspectives from technology leaders. Hello and welcome to Enterprise Influencers. Today, Patrick, what are we going to talk about?
Giles, we are going to be our own guests today.
And
that's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. But I think in part, we're both been really busy. And so that's maybe part of the reason we don't have a guest. But
we have a few in the kitty. We have some guests and stuff like that.
But what we're going to be talking about today is really work-life balance and maybe what that means to us and how that's impacted really the state of work in the enterprise. And I think it leads us into some interesting conversations. So yeah,
shall we talk about at a high level, obviously, because we don't go into the details of these things. We were talking about this over the weekend, about this subject matter and all that kind of stuff. And why is this subject matter so pertinent to us right now?
Yeah,
so what's going on with you right now?
So I mentioned we're both really busy. I'm working at a very large, and I'm in the process of running a very large project that has a lot of different technical complexities, has a lot of different business complexities, a very large team executing it. And a lot of my day right now is consumed with, we were just talking before we started recording, back-to-back meetings and getting consensus. And I went to bed the other night dreaming of data migrations and technical complexities and all this sort of fun stuff. And so it has the effect of being extremely stressful. So what do you got going on, Giles? Why are you so busy?
Well, I mean, as we used to work together, so I fully understand exactly where you're coming from. And then I've lived and breathed that many times, unfortunately, in my life. But now I'm on the other side of the foot. So I'm actually working for a small company. There's 200, maybe 250 people. We're in the defense sector here in the US. The executive branch is starting to make some serious changes as to expectations and things like that. And as a product manager, I'm bringing something to market. And it is an ever-changing world where we then have to address. We launched it last year, about August time, and as we go up to a deadline that the Department of Defense has put in place, more and more customers are coming in, which is great because it means that we're selling what we're doing, all that kind of stuff. But then sudden things happen in the week.
Yep.
And then suddenly anything I planned for that week is completely out the window.
Yep.
And then that doesn't stop the fact that I have two small kids and I still pick them up from school. And it's getting towards spring break and I'm expected to go to their spring fling dance or something like that on Friday. And which is why this topic is so pertinent.
So you're a victim of your own success, basically, is what you're saying.
It's a team effort. I wouldn't say it's all me. I'm not going to brag about me. I am merely the go-between and the glue between sales and the tech.
I've lived that as well. Right? Sometimes you're trying to win new business, and you know that entails even as a product manager, that entails a lot of customer interaction and explaining, and maybe the sales folks don't quite have the pitch down and things like that. They got to pull in the big guns, right? So that's where Giles comes in. So you mentioned a couple of things, Giles, you have small kids. Yeah. We're in a bit different places in our lives right now. You have small kids. Four and six. That's what I thought. But I have big kids. Not that they need less supervision.
More taxi services, maybe.
Sometimes. But so my kids are 15, 16, 20, and 22. So some are off to college. Have started their careers, and then a couple of them are still in high school and they're fairly self-sufficient. I don't, on the weekly basis, I don't get the, like, it'd be weird if I was like doing bedtime and stories and things like that. So I don't have those pressures, but I do. I think we were talking about this the other night, right? Like, I have enough work to do where I could probably work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not ever get it done, and certainly not have enough time for all of our listeners at the Enterprise Influencers podcast.
So many.
And I'm sure you're probably in the same boat as well.
I am in the same boat. Yeah. And certainly my perspective on this stuff has changed throughout time, right? So when I have flipped between very large enterprises, like ridiculously large enterprises, all the way to very small companies. And honestly, the work-life balance issue is the same. It's just with a different perspective, right? And then I guess, you know, what we were mentioning yesterday is that I actually find that having kids, it forces the situation on me. So if I don't pick them up from school at a certain time, my school starts charging me by the minute. And it ain't cheap. And I've never fallen foul of that thing and at all, but I think it's like something ridiculous. It's $5 a minute.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Which, and then as with most things, as soon as you start getting finances involved, that becomes a very high priority. So if I have to pick my kid up at 5:30, my God, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's going to happen.
You got to go.
Let alone the mental anguish issues I will get for not picking up my kid. The scarring for life. So,
the scarring for life, and then the wife also is another matter, right?
Exactly. Like exactly.
You definitely don't want to run afoul of your wife, particularly your wife. So
she is very direct. She will absolutely tell me exactly what she thinks about that for sure. Yep. That's the kind of person I need in my life.
So I'm just curious, Giles, maybe you can share some of the things that you do to have some level of work-life balance. And then like, I'll be happy to share some of the things that I do as well.
Interestingly, at the advent of COVID and the more use of working from home, it has actually eased the situation. Although honestly, I've never had kids without working from home because I've been working from home for, I don't know, about 8 years, I guess, at this point. And what I have found is this, and it actually makes life a lot less stressful for me, is the biggest concern my employers have, big or small, is my availability, right? And that's always the biggest concern that people have about being working from home. Am I going to get productive employees and things like that? So I try to make it not their problem, right? So I make sure on my phone I've got, you know, when I was in a Microsoft-centric world entirely, it was Teams. Now it's Slack and it's Teams. And I do multiple things, right? Not only am I doing this podcast, not only am I working full-time for the company, my wife runs a company as well, and I do the IT for her stuff as well. So it's always about give and take. So Friday, I was working to a deadline that had to be done and had to be sent out that before like midnight on Friday.
Yeah.
But then I've got certain constraints. I have to pick up my kid at a certain time. I was actually going out with my wife on Friday night as well, and the babysitter was coming like at 5. So how does that work? So I'm honest with people. I set in my schedule the time that I'm going to be out of the office. I have set expectation with people that if I'm out of office, look for this thing in my calendar. And that means that I'm probably going to be available. And I actually open my calendar out to everybody so they can see exactly what I'm doing and where I'm going to be. So if it says like I'm at a doctor's appointment, hopefully they can make the appropriate decision to not contact me because they're not going to get an answer, right? But if I'm going out to pick up my kids, they also know that I've got the stuff on my phone and safety first. I make sure my phone's plugged into my car and hands-free and all that kind of stuff. So often I might say, hey, I need to cut out and then I'll be back on the call in 5 minutes where I'm in my car and jetting off somewhere.
Yeah.
So that it takes me like 20 minutes to get to school. That means there's a 5 minute interruption, but now 20 minutes, I've gained 20 minutes that maybe I wouldn't have had in that day.
Yeah.
And are they as productive? No. I selectively choose what kind of conversation they're going to have at that time. Right.
Yeah. But so, that flexibility that you have there, one, the tools that you have available to you help enable that.
Yeah.
Having an organization that supports that type of flexibility, that's used to the work at home and understands, hey, we're not just robots doing a job here. We're also people that have a life and people that depend on us. That is really important. And I think that's almost, I share a lot of those same sentiments, right? And I encourage that out of the people that work on my team. Just communicate with us, keep your schedule up to date, let us know if you're going to be in or out of the office, and or if you've got things that, you know, that are coming up that you need to be available for. You know, I do find that there's, you know, that is a very, for, so for me personally, like I have a lot of the same sort of habits of just being forthright with people and saying, this is my schedule. So I try to block off some time in my calendar too. I think if I'm a big fan of the focus time where I can set some time aside to actually be productive, because let's all admit that meetings are not productive. They're meetings. And oftentimes you need some dedicated like time to sit down and crank out that proposal. Yeah, exactly. And I do find that's in my position currently, that's few and far between. So I spend a lot of time like directing people, less time than I would like actually like producing like deliverables, content or whatever. Yeah. What about personally? I know like I don't want to steal your thunder, but you've got some pretty big projects that you've been working on. Like I've been seeing a Twitter blow up with your game and stuff.
Sure.
Tell the audience a little bit about some of your hobbies, like outside of work, that, you know, maybe help re-energize and get you coming to the work table and ready to be productive.
So I think the important thing to know about me, and this is not the same for everybody, and very recently I actually got diagnosed with ADHD, and I think it's very clear when people think of me in hindsight, that's exactly the case, is that I have to be doing something, right? And then whether it comes from my parents or it was brought up or whatever, I'm not very good at doing something that is not productive. And many people want to get away from their screens or something like that. I'm a massive nerd. You can tell from the massive mess that's behind me that I'm clearly a massive nerd. I've got PCs from like the 90s and all kinds of other crap up there. But so what I do is I'm a gamer, but I'm not a gamer in that traditional sense. And you're not going to find me on a PlayStation 5 or Call of Duty blowing people away or anything like that. I'm a doer when it comes to this kind of stuff. Fairly recently, I've been doing this kind of quote in my spare time for the last 2 years. I made a Game Boy game from scratch. Because my kids
do they still sell Game Boys, Giles?
So Nintendo doesn't, but there are other companies. In fact, there's a company called Analog over in California that sell what they call FPGA devices that do accept those cartridges for sure.
You made a game for
something that came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's right. The intention was not to release it and sell it. The intention was someone came out with some open source technology that allows you to essentially code a game like it was Power Automate. So you put an object on the screen, you write rules about it, and then you define those rules and variables. And then in the end, that plus all the artwork. And I'm a bit of an artistic kind of guy, and I like doing the pixel art and things like that. And what I actually have found is the reason why I've been able to even get that game done is because when I do pixel art, I'm able to concentrate at listening meetings significantly more. So you don't know this, Patrick, but half that game was designed under your tutelage. But my question to you is that, was I unproductive under your guys?
Now I question.
Now I'm not really questioning it, right? And obviously I prioritize that accordingly, right? So if I'm having to write notes, that's different, right? Then obviously it's the lowest of the low priority. I spend my evenings and my weekends and whatever drawing stuff out in a notebook and deciding what to do. And then by the time I get to in front of my PC, I know exactly what I'm doing. There's no real thought to it. It's just effort to click on little pixels and things like that.
And if that takes your mind off of work and gives you that sense of accomplishment outside of work and
So I do spend time on the weekends obviously doing that kind of stuff, but I also find at work, so what I've found at work is that you've got so many people trying to communicate you in so many different ways that it makes it quite hard when you see the pop-ups in the emails, you see the pop-ups in Teams, to focus on one particular thing. Whereas if I'm not looking at the screen, and if it's a customer meeting, now clearly I definitely don't do that. But sometimes it's like a company all hands or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'll have the slides up, put it in full screen mode. I have two screens where my notification comes up on the one, and I'll just close the lid on my laptop so I don't see that part. and then I can flip between the two. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm listening to music or something like that, if it's appropriate outside of a meeting to keep that focus. But I have to multitask in some form, because if I don't, brain squirrels, basically.
Yeah, no. It's interesting because we're very different in that. So whereas you get energy by doing these little side projects.
Producing and output, basically.
Like for me, I'm a bit opposite. From time to time, I need to turn my brain off, and I need to turn it off completely. So I will oftentimes, after work, I'll go sit out on the patio and just listen to some music or listen to, we have a creek out behind our house. So I'll, especially in the springtime or when the frogs are out there, and I'll just listen to nature and so there's times when I just need to not think about anything. And my wife would probably argue that's like far too often, but would say that it's healthy for me. And I think
everyone has different needs, right?
Yeah. It's
just, I couldn't.
I think there's other things like I've implemented in my personal life. No, not that you can tell by looking at. I go to the gym quite a bit.
I'm sure the stamina is there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting. It's something I read. If I can find the source of it, I'll post it with the episode. But there was a guy who was a Navy SEAL. And there was a video that he put on LinkedIn. And it was talking about workouts and your time management and stuff like that. And I had been struggling for years with consistently making that a routine, because I do find, for me, like when I can work out on a consistent basis, be that a 30-minute run walk around the neighborhood or go to the gym and do a class or whatever, I just feel better. I feel like more energized. But I've been consistently struggling with, like, you get to the end of the day and it's the last thing I want to do. I get to the end of the day and, we've got this school event that your teenager didn't tell you about because they're teenagers and things like that. What happened? So always there was something would come up, which then you deprioritize self-care, going to the gym, getting your workout in. And so this guy, this Navy SEAL guy posted this thing and it clicked with me. He basically said, get up an hour earlier, get up before your family's up. Nobody cares where you are at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I quit quite literally 3 or 4 times a week. I get up at 5 a.m. I'm at the gym by 5:30. I do a class this morning I got on the treadmill and did 3 miles on the treadmill. And then I'm back home by 6:45. I get cleaned up, get my day started, have my coffee. And I'm usually at my desk by 7:30 and into my first meetings. But that time in the morning, like, I've already checked off that important thing for me to keep some of the sanity. Like, it's already checked off my list.
Sure.
And then, I mean, there's other things I do too, like trying to stay connected with the team, like doing one-on-ones and trying to help people throughout the day. But there comes a point in the day where, like I said, I could work 24/7 and never get it all done. So like at some point in the day, like, I have to close the laptop and step away. And I try to be very intentional about that, where I'm meeting my requirements at work. But there's always something, and it's a real challenge. Like, I was telling one of my coworkers the other day, like, I work with a lot of people in the UK. And then I work with a lot of people in, obviously, the US and in India. And so very often,
you just keep going all day. Every
Yeah, exactly. But very often,
Saturday evening that you might be able to get away with it.
Yeah, very often I start my day and the folks in the UK started 4 or 5 hours earlier. So probably around 3 a.m., like, I start getting mails. It's in the UK. And then throughout the day, and then it'll continue like into my evening, I'll start getting emails from folks in India. And so, like, it's literally, I start my day probably sometimes 20 or 30 emails behind. And so having a little bit of extra time in the morning where there's not as much pressure of the meetings and stuff, like, that helps me to maybe get the day started, see if there's anything important that I need to deal with right away, and then move it on with my day. But yeah, I think some of the big stuff is like that flexibility is really important. You know what I've been doing too? I'm a music lover. I love music. Folks may not know this about me, but in college, maybe my fun fact, one of my fun facts. So I actually played bass guitar in a band with some of my good friends, right? Some of my good friends from college. And we did a lot of cover songs, and we wrote a few songs, nothing that
the name of the band.
I can't remember. It was not a very good name, and we never played anywhere. So I'm going to plead ignorance on the name of the band. Cause it wasn't a good name. We had fun. It was mostly like in my college friend's apartment. Anyway, so music has always been something. I've always had an admiration for people who are very talented musically. I am not that person. I am not a gifted musician, but I appreciate it greatly. And my kids have a lot of musical talent. They play percussion. They play all kinds of different things. And so recently I started taking guitar lessons. And so I've got a neighbor who's got a music degree. He's in several bands. He's really talented. He's one of those people I aspire to be, right? And so Friday afternoons, like, he's coming over to the house and we're doing guitar lessons. And it's refreshing to, okay, now I'm in the act of learning and doing something that I like and enjoy, and I can make that part of my week because I have the flexibility to do that because I work at home and I can prioritize my schedule. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's another really nice thing that I've been doing lately.
So the thing that because I work with multiple time zones as well, we've got people in India and we've got people in the UK and some people in Australia, which basically means as well as the US and then different parts of the US as well, mainly central and eastern time. And like you, I could be online all day and all night.
Yeah.
And I would have someone to talk to. And as you can imagine, with a sort of company as well, there's always something to do, and it's a very fast-paced kind of environment like that. But it really is about, I find, about being diligent, being honest, being diligent, and I'm pretty transparent about my stuff as well, as you can probably tell by the way I'm talking.
Yeah.
And I have no concern about anyone that I work with or otherwise listening to this either, because I might spend one day tapping little graphics and all that kind of stuff a fair amount, and then I might go weeks without touching it. Because it's all about priority and putting the effort where it's required, which is why it took me two and a half years to, quote, make a game. And then once I made that game and then I released it, because I found a publisher in Houston that was prepared to publish it, then the thing you talk about in Twitter, that now became the thing. So no game development happened on its sequel or whatever while I limit my thing to one thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's been diligent and restricted enough so that I get a bit that's my time. But it's probably the lowest priority of anything else I do, because the other things I do is I work on the IT stuff for my wife, because she runs her own company. And then obviously my work is priority. It has to be priority because I'm essentially the main breadwinner in the house in this one. Yeah. So it's all about priorities. So sometimes I don't get to do what I want to do as a result. But what I will say, just before we move on, is that I'm also flexible the other way, right? So, like, I've had salespeople trying to get their numbers in before the end of the month, and they need me to look over the contracts that they're sending to people, and they're doing it on a Saturday or a Sunday or something like that. I will read through it, and I'll do that on a Saturday or Sunday. Would I do it straight away when they ask? Probably not, because I'm dealing with my kids and going to a birthday party or something like that. But it will definitely get done probably within a few hours of you asking. And I try and do pre-reading first so I know what to expect.
Yeah. And better yet, if you can plan ahead that you're not having to do that on a Saturday.
And what you'll find with me is that you'll probably get an answer almost immediately wherever you contact me, unless I'm fast asleep. But it might be, hey man, I'm at a kids thing at the moment, but I'll get this done. You can expect it to be done by the kids thing finishes at 2:30, get them in lunch, or I'll do it by 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm like, okay, it's Saturday, I'll look at your email on Monday.
When I was working in larger companies, I was much more that way inclined. Yeah. But so was everyone else around me.
Yeah, yeah.
In a smaller company where it's fight or flight a lot of the time, it has to be done. It has to be done now.
Sure, absolutely. I think that one of the things we talked a little bit about was an employee mindset versus an owner mindset. And I think that brings that up a little bit. I've definitely had periods in my life where, you know, healthy or not healthy, okay, I've got a deadline, so I'm going to work in the office until 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And I think I've probably put in some past 12 a.m. days in the past, I'm sure. And those are rough things. So those are rough things to do. I think, and I know there's a lot of stuff recently in terms of like social media talking about quiet quitting and these sort of like trending topics, right? But in my view, like, it's not really fair to treat an employee like they should have an owner mindset, right? Like you pay an employee to do a job, right? Like now, is that the only thing you expect of them? You pay them to be like available for 40 hours a week or to do a specific job.
Bought into what you're doing and passionate about it at the same time.
Sure, absolutely. But it's not fair to think that they're going to treat your company as if they're an owner of the company, unless they literally are an owner of the company. And I get that if you're in sales, like your income is directly proportional to the amount of effort and things that go into being in sales and things of that nature. And I think you want people that are invested in your company, but I don't know. I'm just like, that's been sort of a struggle for me of late, just like, I'm very invested in what we're doing, but I'm also not going to become a millionaire
from doing it. That makes sense.
I'm trying to become a millionaire, Giles, in case you. Yeah. So maybe I should go into some retro game development. Would that make
me? No, that's not going to get you anywhere. If you go against the time I spent versus how much I've earned. And let's face it, like I also sell it digitally. It's like for a couple of bucks. And most of this stuff is about me working out something new. I have to work out something new. What was it when I was working with you? I always look for the latest things. And
yeah.
Microsoft, so there's always something new to learn. So
Giles is making pennies per hour in his spare time.
And it's not about the money.
Nickels and dimes.
Nickels and dimes. So it's about I'm a project-based person. So like in my mind, and this is probably a ridiculous thought, is that if I keep putting stuff out there and charge a little bit over time, it might turn into something more or not, right? And I've done that a lot throughout my life, right? I used to run a blog, and then that led me into kind of conference speaking and things like that. And if I didn't do that quote in my spare time, then
we wouldn't have a podcast.
None of that would have happened. And yeah, and so the same with the podcast stuff as well, right? Like, I like learning about new things. We felt like we needed to do something like that internally to get like our stuff out there so that people knew what we were doing. And I'm a nerd, so I did it and I try stuff out. And I like doing the start to finish, right? And I like to see the output.
Yeah.
You're right about the owner mentality, right? Because I'm essentially a part owner of my wife's business. But I have found the best thing that I've managed to be able to juggle all of these priorities is to work smart rather than work hard. So I'm much more likely to go away from my desk and have a cup of tea and think about it. Tea, because I'm British, but I can't do coffees.
Oh,
too many bad coffees in consultant situations is just put off. But I'm much more likely to go away, have a drink for 5 minutes and then come back. No one's going to get upset if you don't answer something over an instant message 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And I will have my phone with me. So if it truly is urgent, then I'll rush back. But I take that time to go outside, think about it, and then I come back and then I'm more productive as a result.
Well, isn't it sort of sad? Isn't it sad though, if you compare the work at home versus the office, right?
I couldn't.
Because I've done both.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. Like, but what happens in the office? You go get a tea, you go get a coffee. And then Joe from accounting is there. Hey, you talk about the game or you do the whatever, and you end up having a 20-minute conversation with somebody before you go back to your desk. Like, that's commonplace. To where I'm at now, the only people here are my dogs and my plants. Like when I usually most of the day when I'm working, and there is nobody to talk to. Like, now I'm painting this picture of a very lonesome existence for me, my workday. But it's true. So it's okay to take 5 minutes for yourself or to take a lunch and step away from the computer, or even go out for, heaven forbid, you go out and meet some people for lunch or something, right? I had someone on my team like apologize to me the other day for being away for lunch for like an hour. And they were like, I'm like, that's okay. Why do we feel like why do we feel this need to be like incessantly like available to anybody and everything that wants our attention?
I think it's the downside of how accessible technology is now. Yeah. It essentially means it makes it very hard for you to essentially get away from it.
It does.
And also people have different preferences, right? So I mix and match. Like, you do the gym stuff early in the morning. I try, and it is failing at the moment. It wasn't failing when I was working for a larger company, but it is totally failing in a small company, and I need to change it. And I might be coming up at 5 a.m. now. But I set aside time, at least on a Monday and a Wednesday, maybe in a Friday, to do some kind of exercise. I'm a large guy. I'm in my 40s. That needs to change. I have treadmills at home. I have an exercise bike and all this kind of stuff. I have a swimming pool in the back garden. So I try to carve out time, and I actually have a personal trainer that comes out every Monday and Wednesday. And because my wife runs her own business, it's like a little office building in my own house anyway. So those people chip in and do stuff as well. But
my wife did the best thing. She hired a masseuse to come to the house, and because she's been having like migraine headaches. And so I was so stressed out, and in part it was her fault, because my wife, well, it's two-parter. Okay. My wife went to the Dominican Republic without me for a week. Justifiably outraged as you are, Giles, she went to the Dominican Republic without me. And then, as I was working all week, proceeded to send me pictures of tropical drinks by the pool and, oh, check out this beautiful sunset.
You don't need to be jealous of Raul. He's fine.
So by the end of the week, her stress level was like down here, very low, because she properly disconnected from work and did all the right things. And my stress level was like way up here.
Because you're dealing with all the business of home and surrounding as well while watching your wife completely.
Let's say that when she got back, it was like, I was a little cranky. It was probably not my finest moment. And she even told me, you're getting a massage. I'm like, no, I don't need a massage.
Loosen up as it is.
It was incredible, man. It was
all about the day spas and all that kind of stuff. I'm happy to do that kind of stuff with my wife, or otherwise it makes a huge difference to do that kind of stuff.
Maybe not accessible to everyone, but I guess what I'm saying is like a little bit of self-care can go a long way. And I think really what was the impetus behind us talking about these topics is just we've been going back and forth, both very busy, and just having an opportunity to connect and talk about some of the things that, while yes, we're very busy, there's also things that we're trying to do to keep ourselves with it, keep ourselves invigorated so that we can be on our game, we're at work, and while we're doing the things that pay the bills.
Indeed. And I've come to this point. I've gone through the journey, right? So I used to work like 80-hour weeks and things like that. It was fine when I was entirely single. When I had long-term girlfriend, it was what it was, but it wasn't great for the relationship. And the only thing that really helped it was massive amounts of hotel points. You go away for the weekend, right? And now I've come to this side after, 10 years of consultancy and all traveling to clients, all that kind of stuff, where I want to be at home and I strive to be at home because I feel like I've done that other side of the life and things like that. But the key thing here is it's important to be truly honest with yourself about what you need. I have tried going away and listening to music. I love music. Adore it. We could have a long conversation about music, I can assure you. But if I go away and just put my headphones on, like I used to when I was like a teenager, and just listen to the lyrics and all that kind of stuff, my mind will wander because I've got so many other priorities going on at the same time. I cannot sit and do nothing.
Yeah,
I can only sit and look like I'm doing nothing because I'm thinking of something that I'm about to go do or something like that, right? So I took 10 minutes before this call to really think about what I was going to talk about and things like that while making a cup of tea. It's always this multitasking kind of thing, right? But that's because that's the way I am. I feel the need to be productive. You might feel that means I'm slightly mentally unstable or something. But what it means is that I have to do something that's productive, whether it's personal or nice mug. Where can you get those mugs, Patrick?
Oh, I believe we have a store, Giles.
Oh.
So you too can have an Enterprise Influencers mug.
We do have a store. Go to enterpriseinfluencers.com. That wasn't scripted, by the way. It was just, you needed a drink. Yeah, so I think it's important to know yourself and be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
It's important for me to do a good job in whatever I'm doing. And, you know, in my mind, I've got a list of what my priorities are. That really is. It's kids first. It has to be. Because, you know, my kid woke up with strep this morning, right? So I have to rearrange things to make sure we can get them to doctors, or I have to make sure someone can do it or something like that. Thankfully, my wife also works at home, and it makes that that a lot easier. Then it's my main job. And then everything else comes down from that, right? So although I'm doing stuff for my wife's company as well, I force myself to work smarter. So I make sure I check their updates in my evening while I'm watching some crap TV. And I do watch a lot of crap TV. The current one is Married at First Sight. It's terrible.
Oh, man.
But that's how I can switch off if I watch something that is benign to the world.
if you need to switch it up, go to Netflix, and Love is Blind is probably just as bad and just as good.
I think that's why they're so popular, because you could truly do something and watch
you
something
do not have
and
to
be engaged, but you don't have to care about it. You still do your teeth in the middle of it, and you still get changed or might have a shower or whatever, but it's all happening all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think I've come to that point because I'm forced to multitask in my work all the time. I'm forced to be answering emails and instant messages while I'm in a meeting and everything else like that. Otherwise, I would not be able to get everything that I needed done. And I just work it around the way I like to do things. And it sounds like you've been honest with yourself and found out how you need to do your stuff as well. And
I've found a few things that work for me. And I think that's part of it, is everybody's got to find the things that work for them. But I think more importantly is find whatever bit of flexibility that you can find, an employer that is supportive, will work with your way of working. I think that's important. And not everything is going to work for everybody. Giles and I are different, and we do different things to keep ourselves sane, but you can start to build those little habits that help you along the way. And that's not to say that I am like the shining example of what everybody should aspire to. I would say far from it. I have been able to
always strive to be better.
Exactly. I have been able to eke out like a little bit of boundaries, professional boundaries, and sort of balance between the work and the home life, to where I feel like I'm in a good spot. I feel like my family appreciates what I do and the time that I spend with them, and work appreciates what I do and the time that I spend with them. And I feel like I take that as a win, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I kind of wish I knew what I knew now versus 20 years ago, when I used to just work my ass off all the time, like hours and hours. And I guess the way I think about it is, now that I no longer commute, right? So when I was living in England, you would eat 2 hours each way on the train, easy to get into London, right? So you're either paying London prices, or you are train, tube, walking between the stations that got too busy or whatever, right? I was a lot fitter then. But even here, if you commuted into an office or something like that, if I went to an office in downtown Austin, like in my previous employer, I would have to leave here to miss the traffic, or have to be stuck in traffic. I'd have to leave at 6
either way.
And then I would get to the office like ridiculously early, or I'd be stuck in traffic. And
yeah,
I dare say a good 4 hours of my day would be spent doing some kind of travel or something like that.
I find myself much less productive in the office.
Yeah.
So I'm going into the office tomorrow because it's like for a work event where a bunch of folks are getting it together for a lunch thing. And it's going to be nice to see a bunch of people. And so literally I'm going to the office for like social time. Yep. I find that's a lot of what the value that the office brings to me these days is that sort of thing. But the actual physically driving the 30 minutes or so it's going to take me to get there, having to park and do all the stuff and even figure out what the heck I need to bring because like I don't go to the office every day. So at the end of the day, usually I just shut the laptop and I'm done. And now I've got to pack it up and put it and bring my badge and do all that stuff. And gosh, it's just, yeah, it's now it's an hour to probably at times in my life, 1 or 2 hours of the day that I don't have to do that and I can be more productive. The only thing I regret is literally, like I think I said before, I'm way behind on podcasts because I don't have that dedicated drive time to listen to podcasts and catch up with that stuff. And so that's why we had to have our own because you can't catch up with podcasts. You might as well put one out in the world. Anyway, Giles, I think we need to wrap this up, but I think I'm not sure that I'm going to start building retro games.
Probably shouldn't.
But it's fascinating to hear how your mind works and how opposite we are to get to fairly similar places in our lives. And my friend, it's always great to catch up with you, and I appreciate everything that you do. I guess.
Do you have any final thoughts for the audience? Like a Jerry's final thought?
You're
the age to even remember that. I know you are, but.
We're talking Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer. Oh, man. Final thought. You're putting me on the spot. Final thought.
You do to our guests every time.
Okay. So we'll edit out the awkward bits, but. So, enterprise influencers, podcast listeners, final thoughts for work-life balance is find the things that work for you. You're not the same as your colleagues. Your life is different. You may have older kids, small kids, no kids. You've got fur babies or whatever the case may be. Find the things that work for you. Put in your personal boundaries. Enforce those personal boundaries. And when you're working, do it to the best of your ability. Do the thing that you do that nobody else can do. But when it's time to shut the laptop, leave the office, go to your life, and you work to live, not live to work, then set those boundaries and enforce them and make it personal and whatever workable for yourself. That is the final thought of the day.
Sage advice.
Yes.
Sage advice, for sure. And I guess my final thought would be just, I agree with that sentiment entirely, and certainly the kind of shenanigans that I do that I think has surprised Patrick today is, for me, it's if I'm getting flexibility from the time of day and from work, then I need to be flexible in my priorities as well. So I may want to develop a game all day, every day, but that's not reality. So I prioritize accordingly, and it might mean a whole week goes by and I haven't touched it. That's how I think I've managed to find this kind of happy medium between work, family, time with my wife, time with my kids, personal time, every now and then that happens, right? Because life changes all the time. The people you work with change all the time, and therefore you might have to meet different expectations. So be comfortable with being flexible, but insistent that you still get what you need.
There you go. I like that. Be comfortable with being flexible.
Yeah, but then be insistent, right? So
yeah.
You can be ultimately flexible and then suddenly your time's gone away.
Yeah, right? There's a tagline there.
Yeah, so if you need me to do this on a Friday night, that's great. I'm going to take Monday afternoon off. Do my own thing, right?
Yeah.
When suddenly the priority is no longer.
Awesome.
So cool. All right.
Awesome.
So shall I send this out?
I think so.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I hope this more unusual episode has been useful for everybody. This is Enterprise Influencers. We are two, in fact, enterprise influencers with perspectives from technology leaders and all that kind of stuff. You can find us in the usual places, so iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a whole bunch of other places that I randomly sign us up to, by the way, Patrick, including the most popular ones in India and all that kind of stuff. And we hope to see you again soon. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.